We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the Wolfpack Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Play ball!
Welcome to the Nevada Wolfpack Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Josh Sushon.
Wolfpack Baseball Podcast. TJ Bruce, John Ramey in for Josh Sushon. We record this ahead of the Fresno State weekend series on Thursday evening. That series will get going with a doubleheader Saturday and the finale Sunday. Then the pack will head on the road for another very good RPI game against UCLA on Tuesday. So a big stretch of road games coming up. Let's start with UNLV. Let's talk about that. What were the points that made you the most nervous? It seemed like Jack Thomas Wold was the center of gravity, kind of like the eye of the hurricane. And you didn't want that card to get dealt out with like runners on base or in a leverage situation. And I felt you guys really navigated around him really well. And tell everybody what you told me pregame, one of those games, about what you think of Wold as a hitter.
Well, I think Wold should leave college and go right to Double A. Reminds me of a guy that played at Long Beach, Paul McAnulty. But yeah, I think part of it is navigating through him. And then I think the other guy we were pretty concerned with was Brooks, you know, leadoff guy. And you know, their lineup's pretty long. Alakon's really good. Wold's good, you know, but I think the biggest thing for us was to not let Wold beat us. And as you said, not get into a leverage situation where he could beat us. And I thought Coach Buckley did a tremendous job with that. Now he hit his home runs.
He did.
You know, he got three on the weekend, but they weren't in a situation where it could either have tied the game or won the game. So that was good. That was a positive.
Both those games on Saturday were close games. Usually in a doubleheader, and this might be wrong, maybe my take on this you disagree with, but I feel like doubleheader sometimes is like one close game and then another team just kind of mentally pins the other team in the second game. And both those games were scraps and you won them both. How did you think that demonstrated your team's mental toughness?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to win a doubleheader. I think it's, like you said, normally there's a split somewhere. But we, you know, up until the San Diego State game, I think we were 1-5 on Friday or on their game ones. And I think that needed to change for us to have a chance to win weekends and even a chance to sweep, as we know we've had, we needed to at some point, more than once. But I think our team mentally right now is doing a really good job just preparing for the games, preparing for practice, taking the challenges that our staff is bringing upon them for weekends and what they need to do. And I'm pretty honest with where I think they're at or what I think they need to do on weekends. And that's, you know, they're taking it in stride and they're challenging themselves. But this team, they got the keys of the car. I mean, I'm just trying to stay out of the way.
That was my next question. You talked about staying out of the way with me kind of off the air at one point. And were there times this weekend where you had to, or even Tuesday, where you're like, I got to hold on, I got to stay out of the way? I mean, I feel like you have a real good sense about your guys.
Yeah. I think just more accustomed to letting them drive the car. I mean, it's not about me. It's not about our staff. It's about these guys going out and doing the job. And I think any good team and program and successful teams and programs have that. There's times where you may need to do something. And like I put on a hit and run on Tuesday and I probably shouldn't have, and it didn't work out for us. So I got in the way actually. But I'll just kind of follow their lead a little bit more now. I think it's more that way now than it is the other way, you know, and I think that's a byproduct of them, leadership, buying in, trusting, preparation, all that stuff. I mean, I'll just kind of get a feel for where I think they're at, kind of small conversations here and there, and then I'll just go off of what I think. And as you notice, we didn't really bunt a whole lot this weekend. And that was just a lot of feel for where they're at and what I think. And, you know, Stinson, we tried because we knew we had the injury, and then sure enough, I almost got in the way there. He got a base hit with an injury. So it's like, what, you know, at that point, I just look around. I'm like, all right, I'm staying out of this thing.
Is that a luxury that comes with being in year six, right? You have a group of guys who have grown up. They're steeped in the, you know, TJ Bruce juice. Like, they know how it's supposed to be. And so they've absorbed it. And now that, you know, you can kind of let them be their own thing because they have taken in, they've absorbed so much of the culture you have worked hard to establish.
I think it's more just maybe, I don't really know. I think it's more maybe about them finally believing that they belong and they can do it. That's what I think more than anything else. They've been challenged with so much, you know, the Bosettis and Jake Jacksons and Shrums and Zamores and Marco. I mean, they've seen everything I've had to throw at them. And a lot of it is to challenge them and prepare them for the time that we're going through right now. Is that this is exactly why we play the schedule we do. This is why we're so intent and demanding on and off the field. This is why. So now when playoff time comes, I just sit and watch. And I got the best seat in the house to watch these guys do it because they trust each other and they believe in each other. And, you know, that's I think the luxury is once they become secure enough to believe in themselves.
It's funny the way it manifests itself on the playing field. Like, we're talking about personal things, internal things, confidence, belief, trust. But what it looks like is really good two-strike approach, really good hitting the other way, for example. Like, you guys hammered the opposite field on Tuesday. I know you didn't win the game, but you scored 11 runs. It looks like pitchers who really make the other team earn it when they get on base. Are those how you see these traits manifesting themselves in the game? That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, the baseball part of it, I think those traits bleed into, you know, I mean, John always had a saying, it was your personality bleeds into your play.
John Savage.
Whatever that is. Yeah, Coach Savage. So he was always, always talked about it. You know, your personality bleeds into it. So once they get this personality of who they are, then they can just go out and play. But I agree. I think, you know, part of the old adage of baseball is put the ball in play, catch. I mean, there's really nothing more to that. There's really not. And if you can do those things, which I thought we did do a good job, I think we've been doing a good job with two strikes. And I thought Tuesday was really good. I mean, we hammered the four. I mean, absolutely hammered the four. And that was good. That was a lot of it was with two strikes. You're facing guys with stuff like Arizona State. I mean, you better just be able to get the bat in the zone and put the ball in play, and or you're playing conference opponents, which we're playing Fresno State this weekend, who has stuff on the mound and there's toughness, and we just got to put the ball in play. And I think that's a lot of baseball in general, period. But I do those, the belief, the trust, the preparation, that's, if you can do all that and believe on all that, playing the game is the easy part. The hard part is mentally staying where you're at. You know, Ravizzi always has saying, be where you need to be when you need to be there. I mean, that's the hard part.
What about Bassetti? Did you see this coming?
Crazy. I mean, I think it's really cool. Nuts. I think to homer in 9 straight games. I mean, major league players don't do that. And think of all the college players, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not surprised by anything he does because of just his work. I mean, after the game on Tuesday, when I left, he was still here. When I got here to the park Wednesday, he was already here. In fact, on Wednesday, he was trying to hit the ball through the portal. So I always remember, to have power, you got to be a good hitter. Yeah. You know, you don't just come out and work for power. And so I'm not surprised. He's a worker. He loves it. He loves the play. He loves the work. I'm proud of him. And for where he's come and grown up and, you know, in our program, it was fun to see. It was really fun to watch.
Between Bassetti and Schramm and Marco, just to name 3 position players, and let's include some more in that too. Is there like an accountability that can't be coached there?
Yeah, I think, you know what I think when it's really fun is when the conversations turn to other things than a pitcher's plan or a hitter's plan. That's when I think it becomes really fun. You know, I don't have to worry about a lot of these guys working hard at practice. You know, but that's part of what you were saying earlier. You know, they've established that. So I don't really have to worry about Jake Jackson making sure he runs his poles at a high speed. You know, I don't have to worry about Tebow taking ground balls and being game-like. I don't have, you know, because if it's not, then there's something he's trying to do. He's trying to feel it out. He's trying to do something. And you're okay with that. You just check in. You just gauge, you know, you just get a little temperature gauge. Hey, what do you got? Oh, okay, great. You need anything? No? All right. Well, I'll be over here standing shallow left field if you need something. Just let me holler if you need some kind of deal. And I think that's when it becomes really fun. It's like I did a thing with Zamora today on taking ground balls. I laid him flat on his stomach. And that was it. And he looked at me sideways. He's never done that in 4 years, but it's something I used to always do with Pat Valeka. You know, and it just teaches you so much about the ball, and you have to kind of field the ball. You know, you're laying down, so the ball can't hit you. You don't want the ball to hit you in the face. So you have to put your glove out away from your face and catch the ball, but you get to kind of be one with the hop, you know? And I think that's when it becomes really cool, is when you can start doing that, because all the other stuff is taken care of.
So
but yeah, you think there is an accountability group.
So you had Zamora get down on his belly.
Yep.
Were you throwing or were you hitting balls?
Hitting the fungo.
You hit fungos, hard balls.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. I didn't see you do that with Valleca. I mean, I trust that you did, but I never saw you do that.
It was always early with Valleca. We did it all the time.
Well, and Valleca was today, always there early. Valleca was always there before I was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pat's uniform was normally pretty dirty by the time we tipped off the game, you know?
Yeah. Where'd you get that belly one with the hop drill from? Or did you invent it?
I think I made it up because I was trying, you know, I think I made it up. You know, you're always trying to be innovative and you're trying to spark an idea or you're trying to do that. So it was just something so they can get really low to the ground to kind of see exactly what the hop's doing, what the ball's doing. So, but that's when, like I said, that's coaching. That's when coaching becomes intriguing, fun, exciting, is when you can get to that point. And like you said, Jake, how you feeling today? Good. Okay. Anything? Nope. Got it. All right. See ya. You know, Josh, hey, what's going on? Nothing. Just trying to work through some things. I got it. Okay. Sounds good.
That's great. We didn't talk about it too much. You touched on it in the pregame. You had a couple runners thrown out of the plate over the weekend. And first of all the egg brains are trying to take risk on the base path out of baseball. So I just want to applaud anybody. I'm almost to the point of applauding bad base running now just because there's risk. However, I would like to point out, I thought they were defensible calls to send the runners. Certainly the Dario getting thrown out at home, they had the perfect relay. On a ball that was misplayed and left. And then I forget, the other one was, I think, on a drawn in infield and the ball went right to the second baseman. Kind of crapped out on that
one. Yeah, no, that's a contact. Yeah, and that's a, you know, normally it's a contact play if the infield's in and you're just trying to hope, you're trying to force them to play catch. And that's really hard to do, I think, sometimes. So that's all you're trying to do. I think we run the bases okay for the most part. I think we're fairly aggressive. We tag when we need to tag. We'll catch it by surprise on tagging on some balls. You know, that you normally shouldn't. I don't believe in a whole lot of rules. If that's, you know, I think once you put in rules, then I think then you become timid, you know. And so, I'm good. I'd rather err on the side of aggression than not.
Especially at this level when playing catch, you know, on playing catch in the heat of the moment, not everybody can do it.
No doubt. And I do. I feel that. It's just like Dario coming, you know, the other side of it is Dario scored on a ground ball to shortstop.
That's right.
You know, just a ball to his right and he scored, you know, that, and that's partly why all of a sudden you put the pressure on. And I believe in the pressure. That was the old Long Beach thing with Coach Weathers. That was always, you always win infield in, always, unless there's nobody out. One out, 100% of the time. Force the defense to do something.
I'm going to talk to Dario here next. Did you know he was going to be this good?
There again, I mean, just the work. You know, he's a worker. He's a busy bee. He always is doing something to get better. You know, so with that regard, you're not surprised by anything. When people work, you know, the game rewards. I always think the game rewards you. And he's done a phenomenal job here, and he's played a heck of a center field.
But did you know his ceiling was this high?
You know, I think you always like to say, yeah, you always like to say, because you trust what your eyes are telling you and you trust recruiting and you trust evaluating. So you always like to say, hey, I'm not surprised, you know, but that's partly like I've told some people, is that like him being this good is partly why a lot of why you went out and got him, right? Because you thought he was a game changer. You thought this. And so that's why you went out and got him. You know, I don't think anybody can ever predict someone's going to hit 400. The OPS is going to be 1,000. I don't think you can ever predict that, you know, but we thought he was a good player and he comes from a winning program.
Did you have to fight other programs for him, or was he kind of like a hidden gem that only you guys knew about?
Coach Buckley recruited him. He was the lead guy on that. So I think there were some other guys in the mix, but I think some, you know, I don't know if people were waiting or whatnot, but you know, he's a huge Raider fan.
There you go.
So that's always that we had that in common when he came on his visit. So that was easy to talk to about. But I think he just wanted a chance to, as most JC guys, the clock's ticking. He just wanted a chance to play right away. And we had that opportunity. We didn't really have a center fielder. We needed somebody to come in right away and play. And, you know, he came in from the get-go and kind of took the job and ran with it.
Fresno State coming up. Mm-hmm. Is this high sodium?
I think any time of the year, this time of year, everything. It's everybody's – yeah, I mean, yeah. I think the last 3 weeks of the year, this is why you coach. This is why you play. This is all the above. This is it. You know, it's – they're 2.5 games behind us. They are 3 games out of first place. You know, I think this is potentially both of our seasons right now. I mean, if somebody gets swept, you're out of it. If somebody wins 2 out of 3, you're making, you know, with us only having one more weekend left, you know, and I think they have 2 more. I mean, it's a high leverage situation. It's as high a leverage situation as we've been in all year. And it's on the road.
How'd you get 2 or 3 from them at your place?
I think you play them so early on. You know, the one thing about the Mountain West, you play everybody so early on, no one really knows their team. You know, and I don't, you know, we weren't playing. I mean, a lot of teams really, you know, San Diego State started off 11-4, I guess. But I feel like everybody, you're just still trying to figure out your team, but you got a national championship winning head coach over there. So he knows how to win. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And as I told our team, we got to have our ankles taped. Chin strap needs to be buttoned and we have to be ready to go.
He's the head coach, TJ Bruce. Stay tuned for Dario Gomez.
The constant energy, the tight turns and bustle of the city. Some survive it. Others were made to conquer it. The first ever Lexus UX and UX F-Sport crossovers are crafted for those who were made for the city. UX, starting at $32,000. See Dolan Lexus.
MSRP excludes delivery, processing, and handling fee of $1,025, which may be subject to change at any time. Excludes taxes, title, license, and optional equipment. Dealer price will vary.
We are back on the Nevada Baseball Podcast, and we are joined right now by Dario Gomez. Dario, don't take this the wrong way, but I want to speak on behalf of many Nevada fans, perhaps around March 15th. Who the hell is Dario Gomez? What's your story? I mean, you're setting the world on fire.
thank you. I appreciate it. So I wasn't recruited that much out of high school.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school in Freedom High School out in Oakley, California, Northern California. I didn't get much out there. And then I transferred over to San Joaquin Delta College, junior college. It's out in Stockton, which is only about 30 minutes away. That program, you know, made me what I am and taught me everything that I know. So then I ended up coming here and been loving every minute of it.
It was Coach Buckley, I believe, Coach Bruce said. Coach Buckley was the one recruiting you. Tell me about that.
Correct. So Buckley and I, we really connected on the mental game. He was actually in a book that I read. It's called Play Big by Dr. Tom Hansen. And we just talked a lot about the mental game. We clicked on different levels. We just really connected in a great way about just understanding the game from different perspectives and understanding how to view the game as a positive and, you know, learning from your failures and just having the same approach every day and just staying as positive as you can every single day.
Is staying positive especially important in baseball for somebody who, you know, is trying to hit a pitched ball? I mean, we know, you know, the numbers say you're going to fail more than you succeed.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to find any positive you can. I look at it as you have to control the controllables. And if you end up doing that, you control what you can. You have a good at bat, quality at bat, do what you can to have, do what you can to help your team succeed, then that's a positive outlook, you know. And if you didn't do that, then you got to find a way to do it. But it's a lot easier said than done. You just have to show up every day with a positive mindset, step in that box, knowing you're the best player there is.
So you went to high school in Oakley, but it says Las Vegas on your hometown on the roster.
Correct. So my dad lives in Las Vegas, and I just put down Las Vegas, Nevada for it was in state. He's been here for a while. So don't worry. It's all legal.
No. I wanted to hear your connection to the Silver State.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, when we were playing UNLV, everybody was asking me, all the players, like, from Vegas? Like, how come we never heard you or seen you before? Or you didn't go to UNLV? And I'm like, I'm not really from Vegas like that. Yeah.
So Buck recruited you. You connected on the mental game. But you're not a pitcher.
No, absolutely not.
So you deal with Coach Bruce now, like, as far as your position, I guess, right?
Right.
Explain to people what it's like to play for Coach TJ Bruce.
It's nice. He's a really old school kind of coach, and he's not going to give you any fluff. He's going to tell it how it is. And, you know, I just love playing for that guy. He just lights a fire under me that makes you just want to keep going, get better at the game. You know, he talks with a sense of pride for Nevada and the program. He brings such a great quality to the program. And I think that's someone you can get behind when, you know, they're just bringing such positivity towards you and the team. It's easy to play for someone like that.
So it's your first year in the program. What did you think of the culture when you arrived? Because you got some real vets with like Marco and Bassetti and Schramm and Zamora. What was it like fitting in with a team that's so established with these guys and their roles?
It was really easy, honestly. With those guys, they know everything about the program. If you have any questions, you know, you go straight to them. I wanted to live with some people that have already been here before. So I live with Owen Schatz, Matt Clayton, and Jake Fenn. They're all returners. And, you know, I just wanted to live with some people that have been through the program, understand, you know, how it works, the do's and do nots, the unwritten rules about the program and all that. And it was really, really fun, really easy to, you know, transition from junior college to here, especially with those guys. You know, they just do their work every day. I mean, especially since they are some of the better players, you know, on our team, especially, and they come in every day and they work their tails off. So, I mean, seeing your better guys work harder just makes you want to work harder with them.
You mentioned the belief that you're the best player in the game, right? When you have to like have that mental edge when you're trying to compete in this sport.
Right.
Scout yourself. Like tell people what you think you bring to the table. If you could, you know, like you were a scout scouting Dario Gomez.
I would say I bring hustle. I like hustle. You know, it's just nowadays in the MLB, and you see a lot of guys just kind of, you know, they hit a ground ball and they, you know, just jog it out. And I'm just all about just hustle. Just you go 100%. You never know if you can make a play or you can't. You know, some catches in the outfield, you never know if you don't go 100%. And I think I see that a lot with especially Tyler Bassetti. He hustles. That kid hustles all day, every day. And especially when you see other people doing it, it just makes you want to keep going. I mean, but if I had to scout myself, yeah, I think that's the one where – or one thing that I would put is you're a grinder and you hustle. You play hard. That's what I like to do.
I spoke to Tebow last week on this, so I'll ask you this too. Even when I was a little kid in the 80s and in the 90s when I was in high school, they said baseball's dying. Young people like to play video games. Nobody likes baseball. Well, I'm about to be 43 and people still like baseball. What do you think when you hear people say that? And is like you obviously aren't the only young person that likes baseball. What do you make of all that?
I heard a quote. It said, baseball is dull only to dull minds. So take with it what you want, but it's a game within a game. I think I heard Tyler actually say that. But it is. It's a game within a game. You have to understand every aspect. And I think people that have played the game, you know, understand that just a little more and have a little more respect for the game. And it's a mind game. So people that don't understand it quite as much, they don't understand it. And that's not their fault. You know, it is not a lot of people know or have played it and understand the competitiveness and the work ethic that goes in involved or that is involved with it. And it's definitely a mental game and just
The reason I ask is because you play the game with such an athleticism. You play with a physicality. You're fast. You like to fly around the outfield. You like to fly around the bases. So it's a mental game, but you play it. You specifically play it with a brand of physicality. Did you learn that? Did you model yourself after a player? Or is that just how it's always occurred to you?
Yeah. So partially, yes. That's kind of how I've always played the game. My dad would always yell at me if I didn't run hard to first base, if I had a ground ball. So to stop him from yelling, I would run hard to first base if I hit a ground ball. But, you know, eventually you start seeing success come along with that. You know, you're like, okay, he's right. Like, beat out some of these throws. All of a sudden you're on first base and you got your four hitter coming up right behind you or whoever's behind you. And they get a hit, maybe a double in the gap, you're scoring. That just got your team a run just because you ran hard, you know, and I'd like to say I model my game after Mookie Betts just because the physicalities we both have, you know, he's 5'9", 170 pounds. I'm not too far off from there. You know, he's an outfielder. He's got a good arm. He's fast. I like to believe I am. And that's just someone I like to look at in the that's done it at the highest level. And it shows that it will play at the highest level. So that's some that I know will work out. And if I just keep going, eventually I'll make it and stay there.
Do you have any weird superstitions within the game, I guess? Maybe not in life.
Superstitions. I like to not think of myself as a superstitious player, but I like to think of myself as a routine oriented player. So a little loophole, yeah. But so the only superstitions, I guess, would be I always wear black wrist tape around my wrists. But it's controllable. You can control that ritual or whatever you say. That's something. I remember one game I actually wore white wrist tape. I went out. I didn't have a bad game, but I didn't do as good as I felt I could have. And then I went in between doubleheaders. I put on the black wrist tape and I had a great second game. I was like, I'm gonna stick with the black wrist tape. So that's probably the number one. You always see me wear black wrist tape.
Good stuff. Anybody you need to shout out? Anything you need to say that I haven't asked you about?
Give a shout out to my mom. She'll probably be happy to hear that. So, bye, mom.
He's Dario Gomez. The Pack is at Fresno State this weekend for 3. It's the Nevada Baseball Podcast.